Amen. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to all of you who are in this place this evening and to all of you who are worshiping online. Welcome to the beginning of a journey that we are going to be taking for the next 40 days plus as we journey with Jesus Christ on the road to the cross and to glorious resurrection. We are going to be worshiping the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength on this Ash Wednesday evening. I want to invite all of you who are here and online to stand as you can. And we're going to join together in some gathering words. This is a day of turning around, a time of return to God with all our hearts.
We turn around in true repentance for the actions and inactions that have separated us from God and one another.
We need God's forgiveness. We need God's acceptance. We need God's love.
Yes, praise God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Lord God, wipe away every failing and make us new in your sight.
Restore us, deliver us, and recreate us, O Lord. And now let's join in song as we sing, Lord, who throughout these 40 days, it's number 269, if you'd like to use your hymnal.
Fast and pray, teach us with thee, O mourn our sins, and close by thee to stay. As thou with Satan didst contend, and didst the victory win, oh, strength in thee to fight, in thee to conquer sin. As thou didst hunger bear and thirst, so teach us, gracious Lord, to die to self and cheat. Thy most holy word. And through these days of penitence, and through thy passion's tide, yea, evermore in life and death, Jesus with us abide. Abide with us, that soul this life of suffering overpast, an Easter of unending joy we may attain at last.
Please be seated.
I want to share with you these words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Matthew. This is from the Message interpretation. Jesus says, be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. Might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure. Play actors, I call them. Treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage. Acting compassionate as long as someone is watching. Playing to the crowd. They get applause, true. But that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it. Quietly and unobtrusively. This is the way your God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. And when you come before God, don't turn into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for 15 minutes of fame. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. When you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you go into training inwardly, act normal outwardly. Shampoo and comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you are doing. He will reward you well. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasures in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We all get a little lost, don't we? Can I have a witness? My father was a very hard worker. By day, he was a news editor at Springfield News and Leader, and by night, he called ball, whatever sport it was for high school or for middle school. So he rarely took time off, but when he did, when he was able to take a vacation, it was a real treat for all of us. Now, most of the time, our family, all the vacation time, was really spent traveling all the way to St. Louis to Busch Stadium to watch a Cardinals game. But every once in a while, we actually went camping. Not camping in a tent, but in a cabin. Yeah, no campers either, just a cabin. A cabin in the woods. You know, a cabin that happened to have electricity. A cabin that had running water and working toilets. But you know, we were still surrounded by God's good nature. And there was plenty of hiking and swimming. And just you name it, we were able to do that out in God's good world. Now, my earliest memory of one of those camping trips, I remember because I got in trouble, which I soon found out that's what I usually found myself in. We went on a hike together as a family. We went down this windy path. We were having a good time. And then after a while, my mom got kind of tired. She said, it's time to go back. So we turned around, and I wanted to get back to the cabin quickly. I just wanted to get back and just relax. So I said, hey, I know where the cabin is. I'm going to run up ahead. So I just started running. You know, before my folks said anything, I did hear this, wait a minute, I was gone. And so I ran up the path, and then I came to a fork. And I thought, I thought we traveled in a straight, crooked way. I don't remember a fork, but I said, well, I'll just go right. That is the right thing to do. Right was wrong. Right was wrong. I ran for a little while, and then I discovered it's like none of this looks familiar. I don't know where I am, but you know, I'm stubborn. So I kept on running, thinking it's going to look familiar after a while. So after some time, I finally gave up. I was all sweaty. And I turned around and said, well, I'm heading back. So I wasn't able to run as much anymore. I kind of walked a little bit and was making good time. But there was a turtle in the path. I had to pick up and play with the turtle. And so after playing with the turtle, then I head back, and I finally got to that place where there was the fork, and then I said, it must be the left one. So I went up left, and sure enough, very soon, like within 5 minutes, there's the cabin. So I go up there, and my folks aren't there. Neither are my two younger siblings that were with us, my little brother and sister. They weren't there. It's like, well, this isn't good. So I thought, I better just stay here. So I did. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited. And pretty soon I could hear voices. And I could see my family coming up the path. And I went out on the porch and I went, hey! And then I saw the look on my mom and dad's face of disappointment and worry, and boy, I'm going to get a spanking. And I became worried. But friends, all was well with the world. They were relieved I had come back. I don't know how I missed them, but I did. All because of my stubbornness, because I had to get lost for a little while. We all get lost for a little while. And not just physically, but we get lost in the adventures of our life, don't we? Maybe because we've made decisions in our life that, by golly, we know what the way to live this is, and we're going to follow that path and see it through. And very soon then, we find ourselves lost. But it might not be us. Maybe there are things going on in our families. Maybe there are things going on at work and in our circle of friends. And all of a sudden we get pulled into a lot of drama, a lot of angst. And again, we find ourselves lost. It's because we get involved in relationships. And pretty soon we find ourselves pulling away from those relationships. And we get lost within those relationships. It's not just even getting lost in a relationship. There's the pressure of the whole world, isn't there? There's all the negativity and the anger that's out there in our communications, especially social media. And now the war in Ukraine. And our hearts are breaking for our sisters and brothers there. And all their worries and all the travails that they're going through make all of our problems seem so very small. That still doesn't make us any less lost. We become lost in our relationships with each other, and we become lost in our relationship with our God. Now, I want to tell you something that many of you already know, but just in case you don't, God will never leave you. Never, ever. God is with us always. But for us, we may get so wrapped up in what's going on in our life that we may pull away from God and have pulled away from God because we get a little lost. That's why Jesus' words are important for us as we begin this journey in which we can also get lost, this journey known as Lent, because Jesus offers us words about how our souls can be opened up to experiencing God's presence so that we won't get lost. Now, this is the beginning of Lent, Christian season, 40 days. It's beginning today and goes until 11:59 on Holy Saturday, April 16th, and then Glorious Resurrection Day on April 7th, Easter Sunday. This is a time, friends, where Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, take a step back and we look at who we are in Jesus Christ. We look at our relationship with Jesus Christ. And in the process of doing that, some of us take on or give up certain things, right? We may give up things like coffee, television, chocolate. That's culturally some of the things that we do. We may take on certain spiritual practices. We're going to read the Bible every day instead of every once in a while. We're going to find time to pray every day. we're going to take on some new spiritual discipline. Friends, to give up and to take on can be worthy things to do, worthy activities to engage in. But it's not in the doing of those things that bring us closer to God. It's the why we do those things. See, we know that too. It's the why. So what is the why? Why do we come to Ash Wednesday? Why do we worship? Why do we give up and take on? Well, it's because we can be in a position where the focus shifts from us to the Lord our God. And in doing so, then we can be positioned to experiencing God's loving grace and experiencing God's loving transformation. When Jesus was talking to the people surrounding him on a mountain long ago in his Sermon on the Mount, he assumed that they were doing certain spiritual practices. He wasn't asking them to do them. He assumed that they were doing them. One of those was to share life with those that were less fortunate, to share themselves with their money and their food. They have a fancy name for that. They call that almsgiving. But really, it's sharing your life with somebody and helping them out. That's a spiritual discipline. Another spiritual discipline is to pray. And another spiritual discipline is an appetite-denying discipline, otherwise known as fasting. Okay? So Jesus is talking to everybody around him. He's trying to talk to them about these different spiritual disciplines that he believed that they were already doing. Now, I think we're already convicted, or should be, because I'm thinking that most of us aren't doing all those things. Not that Jesus has got a checklist to do that, but it was just an assumption that all followers of God would be engaged in those practices to grow closer to God. But then Jesus begins to give them advice on how to practice those very things. And that is to remember why. Why do you share your life with others and give of yourself, share of your time, your talents, share of your treasures with them to help them out? Well, it's really so that you can share the love of God with them to help transform their life. And in doing so, you got to be humble. There are a lot of people that do nice things for people, and they do it all for their glory, not for God's glory. Now, I'm going to get ironic with you. I thought of this very scripture because I've been meditating on it a while. And I thought of this as I considered my feelings on Monday when our church got the Partner of the Month with Bright Futures. I was proud. I was proud because, you know, it just was nice. We had a photo op. I put it on Facebook. And then I realized, I'm not hoping to see a lot of likes on this so that I feel that our church is being glorified in this, right? I like the recognition. I appreciate the recognition from Bright Futures. But you know, in my prayer, I ask God forgiveness for any pride I might have on this, because really and truly, it's not that we do things with Bright Futures. We don't partner with Bright Futures for our students, our teachers, our administrators. We don't do that so we get a plaque. We do that because we love serving everyone in our school system. And I want to thank everybody who is a part of that and all the church for their prayers as we're a part of that. But I have to tell you that sometimes when we do good things, could be easy to fall back on pride. That's what Jesus warns us about. Do those good things so that people are transformed and you give God glory. Prayer is the same thing, right? You need to be humble. You know, you're not supposed to pray. I don't know if people call up televangelists and call them out for having big, long prayers. I'm thinking Jesus might. But the whole thing is, it's this example of your piety when you brag about how you are praying. When you are acting like, well, if you don't pray in this way, then you're not good. I always remember this woman in a church I served long ago, who, great servant, had a great vibrant ministry in prisons. And I asked her to pray one night, and she said, I'm not gonna. And I thought, well, maybe she's nervous. But she explained to me later that sometime in her past, she had given a prayer at a gathering of women, and somebody came up to her and said, that was a terrible prayer. And because of that, she no longer prayed again. She was giving God the glory in her prayer, but somebody was judging her on how she sounded. Jesus says we're to be humble. That's why we go to God in prayer. Now, that doesn't mean you don't pray to God. Some of you might be saying, phew, I don't have to pray. God knows what I'm thinking. It's not what that means at all. It simply means that you come to God with humility. Friends, you share your life, you pray. And then there's that fasting thing. A spiritual practice that we don't really practice, right? In our time, we really don't talk about abstaining from food unless we're on a real strict diet. And really, that's so that we lose weight. It's not to honor God. But there are other appetites we have which we could fast from. The reason why we would fast, the whole reason why you would fast, is not to experience the pain and agony of being denied and thinking that you're going to find spiritual meaning in that. No, the reason why you would fast is so that you would let go of something that you think that you could do, you couldn't possibly do without, and realize that you can because you've got God. So you can fast from television. You can fast from the internet. You can fast from Facebook and social media. Doesn't mean that you go, I'm going to fast for a whole year. Some of us cannot fast from social media for a complete day. But it may be a worthy practice to try. And again, it's not just to do it, just to do it. It's to say, how do I spend this time that I would normally spend in it, doing this thing, being a part of this thing, eating this food? How would I spend that time with God? A few weeks ago, I took a break. Well, the first part of February, I took a break off Facebook. It was awesome. And boy, didn't Facebook try to track me down by email. You haven't logged on. Twitter is the same. You haven't logged on. I hadn't been on Twitter for years. Oh, you Twitter all of a sudden. Oh, you haven't been on Twitter. They'll track you down. And yes, I'm back on Facebook because I do, that's how I do pastoral care. But I reflected at that time, it's like how freeing it was and how much more time I had. I almost was amazed by the time that I had, that I could devote to, I don't know, reading the Gospels and the Gospel Challenge. It was awesome. Friends, Jesus shares with us this advice and how we can engage in all these spiritual practices of sharing life with others and praying and fasting so that our eyes could be open to what our real treasure is. It's so odd that he has that little paragraph at the end that says, that talks about where your treasure is, there your heart is also, right? It's like, what does that have to do with the spiritual practice? Well, it's because if you are coming to God with your real, authentic self, yourself that nobody else knows, when you are coming to God with a full heart, then you are open to the real treasure that is there, which is a relationship with our God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. When we are more open to that, then we are not so tied to all the other material stuff. So friends, as we begin this journey together, let Jesus' words guide you. Let Jesus' words guide you every day in the path that we should walk. And if you get a little lost, which you are going to do, then may the light and love of his words and his resurrection hope bring you home. Amen. All right. We are now going to engage. One of the things that we do at Lent is we have a ceremony of ash. Why do we do that? It's because ashes represent our mortality. For those of you that are at home, which you may or may not have ash, you might go to a potted plant and find some dirt. This will be fine for you too, as we come to this time together. But what I'd like to ask for us to do now is have thanksgiving over these ashes that represent our mortality, that represent that from dust we came, and from dust to dust we will return. So now we come to a time of repentance. Repent and believe the good news.
I repent and I believe.
Now let us join together in a prayer of confession and pardon. Wondrous God, we confess that we have not listened for your word as we should. We confess that we have placed obstacles in the way of our neighbors. We are guilty of being proud and arrogant. Forgive us our foolish and hateful ways. Forgive us for taking your amazing gift of grace for granted. Redirect us by your Spirit that we may be faithful people once again. Let us repent and believe. And now, let us join together as we prepare not only for a ceremony of ash, but also for the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us profess together who God has called us to be.
We are a people of God, to turn our lives over to God, and to love and serve God and others in love.
Let us remember the words that Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed.
He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said,
"This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said,
"This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me."
For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Gracious God, pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and of wine.
That the cup we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. Amen.
And now let us join together in our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory forever.
Amen.
And amen. At this time, friends, we have a special service for you. For those of you at home, I hope that you will take some juice and some bread or cracker that you might have at this time, and also to have some dirt with you. We're going to be doing things a little bit differently than we've typically done on an Ash Wednesday. We will be inviting you to come forward to pick up your elements this evening as you are able. If you're not able, just signify and we will come and bring those to you. but we will have servers that are up here. I would ask that you be mindful of social distancing as you feel safe, but we are going to invite you to come forward and to take the portable elements that we have for you for communion this day. And we are going to be sharing, instead of imposing ashes on your forehead or on your hand, our youth have put together these squares of burlap that have the sign of the cross on them. This can be your keepsake for the 40 days of Lent that are going on. That is its purpose. I know some of you might want that ash on your forehead. I'm thinking it'll make a good tattoo there. So just to let you know, if that's really what you want to do, you can do so. But I want to invite our servers to come forward. So Isaac and Leah and George, if you can come forward. Go down there. That's okay. And George, if you could take that plate and just take that over there. Leah, I'm going to give you your basket here in a minute. I know you're anxious. We'll get there. But first, let's remember. This is the body of our Lord. One body for one people, broken for us. And the wonderful, beautiful cup of salvation for the forgiveness of sins for many. Friends, we are here to celebrate. Lee and I are going to be sharing communion elements with you. And George and Isaac are going to be sharing those ashes. So as you feel led, please come forward. Thank you.
And now if you'll stand, we'll sing together one more time. I want to walk as a child of the light. Number 206.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. Of God, I want to look at Jesus. Clear sun of righteousness, shine on my path and show me the way to the Father. In Him there is no darkness at all. I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I want to be with Jesus. When we have run with patience the race, we shall know joy of Jesus. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus.
Leave this place tonight, whether you feel assured of where you are or whether you feel a little lost, rely on our Lord Jesus Christ, who will shine His light and show you the way. Go into this world and be your true, authentic self, and be open to God's mercy, God's grace, and God's love. Go in peace. See you Sunday.